This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Fria Liu and you're listening to a special edition of Open for Business. Now, this is the first part of a series we're calling Wisdom from the Wonders. Wonders spelled O-N-E. The entrepreneurs have seen their business grow through a decade of Brexit, President Trump and the resurgence of Prime Minister Dr. Tun Mahathir. Joining me today is no stranger to the BFM Airways, the founder of Leader in Domix, Roshan Tiran. It's been difficult trying to get hold of you this whole year. So finally...
Yeah, I made it this year.
You made it this year. And we're going to talk something a little different. You know, this is a business, right? And how, what's the journey been like for you? And, you know,
I won't be giving advice for the first time.
you will be, you know, I mean, you have to drink your own Lucozade, right?
Sure.
So in the decade that we, Leadernomics and BFM have been collaborating, we've never really spoken.
We started together almost,
But same time, 2008, right?
What month
were you born?
We actually started in 2007, but 2008 June we officially went live.
For us it was 2000
September
2008. So before we talk about your growth, right, what was the seed that sparked the creation of Leadernomics?
Yeah, so actually we started as an NGO, right? I mean, the primary goal was I felt personally, together with Hui Ming, that we felt strongly that there was a gap, and there was a gap between the, you know, everything. There's a gap, poverty gap, there's a wisdom gap, there's a all kinds of gaps that was happening, you know, English gap. It's a gap across everything, right? The technology gap, the poverty gap, the, you know, rich getting richer, the poor getting poorer. I mean, everything across the board, there was gaps, right? And how do you bridge this gap, right? And so we said, let's see if we can play that role of a bridge. And we thought, in our wisdom back then, was, hey, if I can train one person or I can enable one person to become a good leader, not a leader that runs through fear or hate, but a leader of love, right? Who then is... has all the skills to transform the community that they serve. And if you can do that many, many times, many communities get changed and ultimately our country gets transformed. So, you know, at that time it was the era where, you know, we just had Hindraf and that whole thing. And my best friend is Edmund Bond, who is the head of human, at that time was the head of human rights for Malaysia. And Goh Chi Leong, who was an academic. I mean, three of us, we kind of grew up in a world where all three of us say we want to make a difference, we want to change the world. Edmund said, you know, he decided to go and fight and be in jail practically all the time. But I thought, hey, maybe we can change the world in a very different way,
right,
by the hearts and the minds transformation, right? And that's how Leadernomics was birthed, right? I mean, it's really about, and it wasn't to make money. Even today, right? I mean, we sometimes struggle, you know, I kind of let go. I'll talk about that in a bit. But, you know, my team were like, hey, no, but we have to do this. We have to hire this person. No. Because it's also helping, you know, we have to do work with the refugees. We have to, so that there's a balance between helping and achieving, right? And I think, you know, over the years it's been a struggle, but I think we've managed to overcome a lot of it. We managed to grow outside of the country also to some extent, but really the starting point was that. And then we decided that we don't want to be we're a business that's different. We don't want to be there to give you products, because we want you to be smart enough to be able to figure it out yourself. So what we went about is that, instead of, you know, typically you see this in the healthcare industry, very well run. There's a pharmaceutical company that runs, they produce drugs. And then on the flip side, there's hospitals. Now, in the education, learning, development industry, especially corporate education, there is only pharmaceutical companies. There's the Seven Habits, the this, the that. There is no doctors. There are no hospitals. So companies will say, I want Seven Habits. I want Six Sigma. I want this.
Right.
There is, so it's almost like they're self-prescribing.
Right.
But many of them don't know what their real problem was. And that's where we decided there was a gap, right? It's an individual gap. I need to help each person individually in their context. I need to diagnose their issue, the gap. Everybody has different gaps. I need to design a plan for them to cover that gap. And then I need to deliver, to execute that plan. The same concept individually, we brought it to organizations. How can I be a hospital, not a pharmaceutical company? I don't need to produce drugs.
Okay.
I become a hospital that goes in and says, hey, here's my doctors. And in fact, my BD team is called BD, right? They're called business doctors, right? So literally it's a BD team, but they're business doctors. So they go in and say, what's the issue? Now, if the issue is something small, we find something, you know, a small patch. If the issue is something big, it's something big. And sometimes people say, no, I want this. And I've had this many times with customers, like, no, you don't know what's wrong. You're not the doctor, right? And many customers like to self-prescribe, but to be honest, we always get in consultants. One of the reasons is because we cannot see things that are so obvious, right? Mm. Everybody in, and that's part of the reason why you need a doctor. And that's how our entire business model was really about being a business doctor or being a hospital rather than being a pharmaceutical company.
So you started off as an NGO, but that changed.
That changed very quickly because actually when we started was the year 2007. And what happened was we started as an NGO. And 2008, the star at that time, the CEO wanted me to come work for him. And I said, no. And finally, he knew that I had this NGO and also this practice. And he said, why don't you work for them? I'll pump money in. Mm. And at that time, you know, being naive was like, okay, whatever. So we set up a company. You know, Star took at that time 51% of that organization, and you know, we had money. I can do my community work, right? Everything was good, but you know, that within a year it was the election, and right. MCA had a bashing, right? The start of their continual, you know, kind of being bashed in the elections. And what happened is they changed the MCA president, and he decided to get rid of at that point, or he decided to you know kind of retire.
This was 2008
election,
right?
Yeah. Retire the then CEO or executive director. And so when that happened, the new guy came in and he's like, who are you guys? Why do I need you? I'm not going to fund you. And that's where the point where we had to say, hey, we had to build a business model. And that's where that business model came in. Mm. We say, hey, we don't want to be a training company that provides solutions.
Right.
And we want to be a hospital.
I think even when you started it at the time, there was the GFC, you know, the global financial crisis,
yes.
and the Lehman Brothers, all sorts of things.
I mean, you had a financial crisis, you had, and we were reeling off a lot of changes that were happening. Mm. I mean, Najib just took power. And so it was not an easy time. And especially, you know, I was not an entrepreneur, right? Mm. I grew up in corporate with Johnson & Johnson, with GE, with Exxon. I mean, I've always been, and I'm you know, outside of a couple of roles where I ran companies, generally, most of the times were functional roles, you know, whether it's in HR or finance or tech, right? So I've, to really suddenly be morphed to say, okay, now I have to worry about payroll every month. Mm. How do I, you know, I've hired 8 people because I thought I had the money. Now I have to fund these guys. And it was me all doing everything, right? From the actual execution, the consulting, to the training, to the, you know, I started out doing a lot of that because I had a lot of folks that were operational folks. But over time, you know, I had to start to really build people up and say, how do I grow this person so that they can replace me in this part, in the sales part, in the, you know, you know, organizing, in the consulting part, in the training part.
So you're, in a way, when you started this, you were already thinking of the sustainable development goals before they were in place,
to be very honest, the whole Leeramics, the basis was how do we create a new Malaysia that is going to be transformative, that every individual is empowered, that every individual, I mean, we look at our values, right? It's giving. You know, if you look at how many corporate values is giving, so ours is about giving. You have to give more because ultimately you'll be blessed if you do so. You know, it's about relationship.
Right.
You know, it's about building real, authentic, you know, relationship bonds with people. It's about building the future. I mean, it's about empowering. How do we empower others? And then we too get empowered in the process. So, you know, as we created our values in 2007, right? When core team, myself, Alvin Ang, Hoi Ming, Mingan, when a few of us got together to think through this, I mean, we thought through values, we thought through what are we trying to build here? And the fundamentals was really about transforming the nation. You know, fortunately, unfortunately, you know, the Star thing happened. The interesting thing is the next era of Leeramics was we were now part of a public listed company.
Right. Right.
So we were a social enterprise that was, you know, part and parcel. You know, again, we were 51% owned at that time by the Star, by this publicly listed company, which means that we needed to comply with all the public listing rulings. We needed to, and then suddenly profitability. You know, your revenue. What's happening? You know, we get analyzed. You know,
okay.
We have AGMs. And, you know, so it became a very different experience.
Right, and we'll talk about that transition for you as a leader in just a moment. I'm here with Roshan Tiru. Actually, I'm only on to question one. Roshan Tiru, Leader Economics.
We'll just do question one today.
Stay tuned to Open for Business BFM 89.9.
But films, man. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Good morning. This is Frida Liu. If you just joined us, this is a special edition of Open for Business. It's wisdom from the wonders, the one, O-N-E, speaking to people who have been in business for 10 years and more. And of course, what's happened in the last decade. Roshan Tiran from Leadonomics, no stranger to our show, but never featured in Open for Business, and him and his business as well, right? Now, since Leadonomics is all about the law or science of leadership,
yeah, the science of building leaders.
The science of building leaders. Yeah. You also know the importance of practicing what you preach. So as your company has grown, how have you evolved as a leader? Yeah. I know you've stepped back in a lot of ways. And why was that necessary? Because I couldn't find you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's a couple of things. I look at it. There's as a leader, your number one role is to provide clarity. Right. And I think initially when you grow organically, there is very little clarity. It's always opportunistic. It's always, you know, excitement. It's always, you know, jumping and doing all kinds of things. So at some point in time, you need to have clarity. And so one of the things that transpired is how do we create clarity of organization, clarity of legal entity, clarity of what we do, clarity of who does what. So the heart of leadership is clarity. The second piece is structure. How do we structure it so that we can replicate this, we can scale this? I think the big transition happened about a year and a half, 2 years ago, where I said, look, so we hired Caroline a couple of years ago, and she was kind of running our CE, customer engagement team. And I've always in my mind, I said, Caroline's going to run Malaysia. And Sashi, we had also hired, and he had come in as our learning head. But ultimately, you know, because of his tech background, he was a tech guy, you know, it's an opportunity. So in my mind is I needed to position them, but we need to prepare them. Throwing somebody into a role without preparing them and giving them the relationships and the networks and also the capability of being able to articulate the business model and seeing that. So spending 2-3 years with her, really grooming her to set her up for today's success, right? And once Caroline took the mantle of Malaysia, now she's running with it. I said, hey, this can be replicated in India. So, you know, we looked for guys in India. You know, we spent a couple of months with Party and then later Riddhi, getting them up and running. And then now we're doing the same for Indonesia, right? So we've hired 2 Indonesians, you know, in Malaysia, spending time with them, grooming them, you know, at some point in time, go back to Indonesia. You know, likewise in Thailand and so on and so forth, right? Mm. So that model now can be replicated. But it's always going to be, and this is where I feel many times SMEs, we fail, is because we're so busy doing the work that we never take the time to develop others to be like us. So we all are irreplaceable. But today, you want to be mixed, they don't care about me, you know? Mm. I mean, it's like, who's this guy? Whatever. I cannot know what's happening because sometimes, you're having this camp. I'm like, oh, really? Oh, yes, good. I have no idea, right? Because really, it's what that does is now it frees me to start looking at things that that are much bigger picture in value, right? I think if you set up culture right, you set up the clarity of where we are going. We started Leadonomics, we had a management trainee program when we first started, right? I mean, we lost track of it. This year, one of the big initiatives Swimming and I spoke about is we want to create a global management training program. The best folks come in, spend 6 months in India, 6 months in Malaysia, or 4 months or whatever. I mean, in one in design, one in diagnostic, one in delivery. You know, so spending a couple of months in different places and then graduating them 2 years, and this becomes my pool for all my global offices, right?
All right. And where have you expanded globally?
So we are now in Thailand officially. Mm-hmm. We have an entity there. We are in India officially. We are in the brink of signing up entity in Singapore, Cambodia, and Indonesia. So in this all happened this year, actually. So you know, you saw me disappear a little bit this year. Part of it is all these things that are happening. And what happens is, what I'm learning also now is a dual kind of learning. When you set up a new entity, right, not in a foreign country, there's a whole bunch of investments of not just dollars, right?
Yeah.
It's also time, energy, education that needs to happen, right? And what kind of, again, go back to structure, right? I need to have structure. So every Monday morning, I have call with India. Even if I'm far away, I still make sure there's a discipline of having those programmatic pieces to it.
So the vision has changed to beyond Malaysia.
So the vision is the same as it was. See, we had our vision was simple: growing, taking 1% and growing them into a leader, building communities of love and transforming the nation. So the only thing that's different is in India is transforming India. Hmm. In Malaysia is transforming Malaysia. Right. In Thailand, and the thing is, in Thai, it's a Thai-run organization. So in Thailand, Leromix Thailand is a Thai company. In India, we're an Indian company. In wherever we are local, right? So although we are collectively have a brand, and again, you know, I think now a very powerful brand because of the content that we have, you know, having Jack Rell, Simon Sinek, I mean, having all these guys contribute to our content, and we give it away for free, right? Part of it is that we have an authority in terms of leadership in Malaysia. So how do we build that same thing in India and Indonesia and so on in local language, right? In Thai, it's in Thai. It's in Indonesia, it's in Indonesia.
Right. You know, I want to ask you, I guess, you know, what has been the biggest obstacle you face over the decade? I mean, was the demerging with the star, you know, what went there?
Yeah, that I think was something that I haven't talked about. Not many people know about this thing, but about, I think 2017 or so, we started a dialogue because, again, 2012, 2013, we tried to demerge and then the elections happened and everything was status quo, and then a new board came in. Mm. So this time before the general elections, I was very adamant that we close
this chapter,
the demerger. I mean, and the thing is, the Star is a great organization, you know, good governance and a good public listed company, you know, gives great dividends and so on. The thing is that we had global aspirations and we just didn't have understanding of business model, right? Even though we have content, they have content, the business model itself was very different. And part of it was, how do we do this? And ultimately, it comes down to price, right? You put a number big enough that you know, makes everybody happy. Maybe not me, you know, the person buying it, but, you know, you know, so we came to a point where we agreed on a number, and then after that it was, how do I fund this, right? How do I find these millions to pay for this, right? And it came to a point where we actually put our own assets up essentially to figure out how to get that funding for it, because we came to a point where we said, let's go out and get investors, but it was going to take too long for that transaction, and the transaction had to close. There was only a small window to close that transaction, so we went ahead and you know, kind of put our own property and our own assets and collateral, and essentially between the two of us, we managed to close it out. Now the other piece that is interesting is that the market reaction, right? Because when the belief is that we are so dependent on the parent, right? Our belief is that we enjoyed that relationship, we leveraged them, they leveraged us. You know, they leveraged some great assets we had, called like Do Good Volunteer, and some of the things that they won awards for. So I think it was mutually you know, they did not lose out in terms of their investment. You know, they actually made money off their investment. So we were good as an invest, you know, and as an investment for them. But I think what happened is that our employees, you know, the marketplace, oh, what's going to happen to you? What's going to happen to you? And, you know, it's business as usual. I think what was interesting is trying to get my employees to start to change their mindset, to say that, hey, we're governed by, we need to support this report, because that's how we used to, you know, being a public listed company, so-called. Now it's, we are free, we can do things a little bit more differently, we have to do things faster, we have to do things more aggressively, we want to get to 5 countries in 1 year, and they're all like, no, it's ridiculous. But it's possible, right? Because the chains are, sometimes when the chains are let go, people still believe they are chained, right?
Yeah,
so like, that belief system was the hardest thing to overcome, not so much the physical transaction. I mean, today Star and us are still very, very good terms. You know, we still buy from them. We didn't lose anything. We didn't leave with negativity. It was a very nice, accepted, it's time this child was let go and grows up and is be independent. And both sides understood, and we had a fair settlement. Everything worked out right.
You know? If I were to ask you then, like, what would have been the greatest achievements in the last, you know, 11 years?
Yeah. I think one of our biggest was the work we do in school. It's incredible, right? Because I told our guys, I said, here's what we want to do. We want to be in every school in Malaysia, but we want to give free, and we want to be there every week, because I found these camps where we do it once a quarter, once every year or so. It's touch and go, right? I touch and see you, and then I want to be there every week. But they're like, how many people do we need to hire? I said, don't hire anyone. Let's do it. And how we mobilize volunteers, NGOs. You know, we mobilize all these guys to give up 1 hour, 2 hours of their time every week to come and teach Form 1 in this school, Form 2, Form 3, Form 4, you know, four or five different folks in each school, going back to their own school and building relationships over years with these kids, supporting these kids with hundreds and thousands of kids now part of our Liramis Club portfolio. Mm. And then the Cambodian government hearing about it, the Brunei government hearing about it, you know, and now we have Sri Lanka. I mean, all these governments coming to us and saying, hey, can you give us, sure, it's free. Mm. We do not charge a cent, right? But that movement to me, I'm very proud because we did it with minimal resources, but able to scale something so significantly and we want to get to 2,700 schools in Malaysia, right? Mm. So in the next 3 years, right, Victor and his team, right? Victor, you got it. So I just said on Victor. Victor, it's been a couple of years. How many more years are you going to sign up? And here's the deal. Let's get every single school in Malaysia. Let's get Cambodia. Let's get Thailand. Let's get India. Let's get all these countries up and running on clubs. So even though that doesn't make me a cent, you know, I lose money doing all these things. I'm very proud of the fact that we continue to change the next generation of kids through our club work.
We'll talk a little bit about looking at revenues and all the other factors as well. And, you know, what do you hope to see in the next decade? In just a moment, Roshan Tiran from Leadernomics are listening to Open for Business and Not Raise Your Game, BFM 89.9.
Bring forth Moolah, BFM 89.9.
This is Open for Business. Good morning. If you've just joined us, I'm having a very long conversation with Roshan Tiran from Leadernomics. This is talking about the wisdom from the wonders, and one spell O-N-E. And of course, you know, Roshan's and team has been with us, you know, for the last 11 years, contributing their wisdom. And, you know, just looking at you as a business, and you shared with us some of the greatest achievements, the obstacles, the things that you have to face over the last decade or so. And, you know, you've let go of a lot of things as well, but you still keep a pulse of things. How important then, you consider yourself a social enterprise, right? Oh. Okay, so, and how do you then still, you want to do all these things because there is, you're saying corporate, digital and community, mm-hmm. right? So there's still the element of revenues, right? Yes. How do you manage that?
You know, one of the things we have to think about is one day, if you build the ecosystem right, one day revenue will come. But having that perspective is very tough. So you need to have short-term revenue to fund yourself in the interim. So, you know, when we started digital, we said, look, ultimately, we want to build a platform that starts with kids, right? Because I have kids, I have volunteerism, I want to build a pipe. But it's going to take a long time to do something that drastic. And we cannot do. So you got to build volunteer, you got to build kids, you have to build different systems and then over time integrate it. But ultimately, you have to have that dream of what that whole thing looks like and be patient. At the same time, we found that, hey, there's a lot of gaps in companies. Companies don't have good mentoring structures. Companies don't have... And as we look in the world, hey, there's again, this is the hospital, right? I found there are a lot of great technology out there, but not being leveraged. So how do we bring that technology? And these are what I call hamburger. You set up a hamburger stall, but at the meantime, you're building this great, you know, platform or products and services or business, right? But you still have the hamburger store to give you the makan for the day for you, you know, and when we started to say, okay, let's start selling systems, right? And then we started saying, say, hey, your system, I think if we do a few things on top of your system, we'll make it better. And then the systems become more and more complex. And then suddenly it's not your system anymore. It's yours plus, you know, a whole bunch of IP from me that has made this, right? And say, hey, this fits in nice for this part of the platform. And I think that the ability to be clever about knowing how to get some short-term revenue. You know, a couple of years ago, Alliance Bank came to us and said, hey, we want you to run a competition. And they didn't say, we want you to do something. Mm. This was in 2011. And that's at that point in time, we said, okay, let's design something. And I say, hey, this is not really our core, but it's a hamburger. It's going to give us good cash, you know, to set up, you know, do some learning. At the same time, it drives our mission, which is to help SMEs. Now, at some point in time, say we don't need to keep holding on to hamburgers, right? Mm-hmm. Because these are to get you along the road. You got to keep, you can lose sight of hamburgers, but you must never lose sight of your vision of what you're trying to build. And to me, I and people sometimes get frustrated. It's like, oh, but that's great revenue. What for? Right? I mean, I just told our guys, I said, get rid of all the events. We just outsource the event. You know, we don't need. We did that as hamburgers because we needed it at some point in time to get us, because we had a cash crunch. We needed some revenue. You know, we just needed to have that. But at some point in time, that's not going to be my core, right? Why not? And you know what? My core is contributing. Let go of that, right? So that practice of knowing how to balance, and this is where the mistake comes in. A lot of people start off these hamburgers and they end up becoming the business.
Right.
And they never get to build that great ecosystem or the great idea that they wanted to because they get sidetracked.
Okay. And I guess like looking forward 2020, right? What's your definition of entrepreneurship as we move into the next decade?
I feel that a lot of things are changing, right? Functions are changing. We you know, HR is not HR. Finance is not HR. Everything's morphing together. You have a digital, the industrial revolution. I thought people don't understand. It's a physical revolution, right? Because you have automated, you know, stuff. You have robots. You have driverless cars. But it's also biological revolution. You got predictive medicine, right? Not just preventive, right? So even the science is changing there. But then you've got digital, right? Which is a whole bunch of things, right? From products to services to the way we do business to everything, right? The way we communicate. So actually, there are many revolutions that are happening inside one revolution. And I think as entrepreneurs, entrepreneurship will change. And it'll be a lot more, I feel that it won't be how it was about, that there's focus, but I think the guys that win are the guys that can see the bigger picture. You know, that's why you see the Alibabas, who the platform guys are, they're going to kill everybody else. The rest are cocks. You know, you win, but right. never really win, right?
Yeah.
Because you will always never be as big as some of these guys. And maybe, I'm not sure if it's too late, but I think it's never too late for us to continue to pivot and push these guys and reinvent. Mm. But you need to start thinking holistically and you need to start saying, okay, if I do something now and I do all these actions, 10 years from now, what can I do? Because entrepreneurship has always been about short-term effects, you know.
Right.
But I think if you step back a little bit and say, I need to be long-term achieving something, but what are short-term things I can do that will help me get here, but will also help me with some of the short-term constraints that I have, you know. Mm. And I feel that many entrepreneurs do it because it's a hobby and so on, which is great, but to really succeed, you know, to be world class, to be Lego like Denmark and all the different, you know, small countries that have such that there's to be a little bit more futuristic, right?
Right.
I mean, you talk to the Lego guys, they say, Lego movie, you know, why are you doing that? Losing money. They lose money, right? But because of Lego movie, there's that almost a cultish, you know, it's the same thing with people say, why are you giving away free content? Why don't you monetize LeeRamis.com? You know, why? Or okay. But what they don't understand is content gives credibility. Credibility gives authority. Authority gives you leadership in the space. And when you have that, then you can command, you know, essentially you get to be a doctor, right? Because you don't go to a doctor who's quack, right? You go to a doctor who's credible, who's qualified, who you think, oh, whatever he says is like, this is the guru. You got to listen and you got to take his advice, right? But there's steps to getting there, you see. And each requires different building blocks, right? I feel entrepreneurs need to understand that getting to a destination is a journey, not tomorrow. If you really want to build a company and say 10 years later, 15 years, and you're still running it, like what happened in the 70s and 80s with all these guys, then you got to really upfront think about the long-term game and then transact slowly to get there, you know.
All right. Glad to speak to you this year. Roshan Tiran from Leadernomics.
The close of the year.
And I'm sure he'll be back again next year, hopefully, if he can squeeze some time for us.
No, I mean, this is fun, you know, talking about, hopefully won't get me in trouble.
So have a wonderful year ahead and a wonderful decade to Roshan Tiran from Leadernomics, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.